Could you tell me your name, address, and date of birth, please?
Shirley Smith.
And date of birth, please.
Oh, sorry, 17635.
Tell me a little bit about your background, where you were born, your mother, your father, your siblings, their occupations, and
Right.
your siblings.
I was born in number 27 Station Road, Church Village, which is only across the right way. My mother lived in Treforest, and my father lived for 93 years in the village. They were married for 64 and 11 months. If he'd lived a month, it would have been 65 years married.
What did your father do?
Farmer, yeah. He did a lot, different things. We had dairy cows, we had pigs, poultry, and we delivered our own milk, produced our own milk, and sold our own milk, bottled the milk. Did all the harvesting. My mother was always helping him with the harvesting and helping him whatever. Did all the poultry for Christmas. My father was the master butcher, really, because the butcher shop is up in the village, the Lloyd's Bank that is now. My grandfather built that, but then my uncle came along and took over the butchers, and my father had this when he married, aged 30. And
So, I'm sorry, were you born in this house?
no, 27 Station Road,
27 Station Road, which is across the road.
Across the road.
So when did the family move
So
here?
we moved in here 50 years last October, 1963. And my sister was born in, well, it's the Dewi Sant Hospital now, but it was the old workhouse then. But she died aged 49 years of bowel cancer. So I'm an orphan, I call myself now, really, because I've got no one. Yeah. And it's hard going. So
Well,
we're only twins.
tell me a little bit about your education then, where you went to
Oh,
primary school, second.
I went to primary school up in the village, Church Village, until I was 13. Then I went to Bather Secondary Modern until I was nearly 15. Then I went to Cleves College, private commercial college, when I was 15, well, 15 and a half, until I've gone 17, I think. And then I came out then, and I worked in Pontypridd for 4.5 years in a furniture store, in the office in a furniture store. I went then down into the factory, and I was there for 25 and a half years.
Can I just ask you, where was Cleves College?
Newport Road, right by the blind centre there, remember being built. But yeah.
So in Cardiff,
Yes, in
Newport
Cardiff,
Road in
yeah.
Cardiff. Yeah. So then you said you went to work in the factory. How old were you, and what year was that then?
Well, I was about 22 or 23, is it? I work out now. I was there for in the road for 4.5 years. Oh, I'd be 23, but I'd be, and then I went down the factory when I was. For a while, I couldn't get a job for a couple of months, and then we saw an advert in the paper, and I applied for it, and I had it. And then when I decided then to finish in Pontypridd, because it was the money, because it was not very good money, and I was paying quite a lot bus fare, and I was walking to work then on a Treforest estate. So I started then at 23, 24 age, yes, I think it was. And then I was there for 25 and a half years.
Can I just ask you then, you said you applied for a job. Did you have an interview?
Oh, if, with the fact,
Yes.
yes. I went down to the on to the main avenue. Yeah, I very often think, where did I go for the interview for the job on the on the estate? Down the main avenue. I think it was called the Exchange. If I remember rightly, I had to go off the main avenue and go in. I went down by bus. And I went in somewhere into a... I can see it now. But I don't think it's there now because they've altered it all, taken factories down and... Yeah.
So what was the factory called?
My factory was called Bury Son and Company Limited.
And what was the end product of the factory?
Textile. Nylon, well, no, cotton, and then we went over to nylon as well.
And yeah. the fabric, was it?
Fabric, yeah.
So you went for an interview. What did they ask you in the interview?
Oh dear. That was a long time ago. I know one thing that my boss always looked at was people's hands and nails. He've always said that whenever he interviewed anyone up for the factory itself, he always looked on everybody, previous office staff, he always looked at their hands, and he just asked me general questions where I'd worked before and my background. Gosh, it's such a long time ago. I can't remember rightly. I remember going and coming back. As I say, I went in on somewhere on the left off the main avenue. And I think he told me there and then to start the next Monday. So, of course, I had to go down and find it as well. I didn't have a clue where to go. And I just went down onto the estate. We was walked up, bus to Tontaig, and then walked down through the fields and back of the factories and come right down into the our factory itself.
Mm. So, when did you have to start work in the morning?
9 o'clock.
So when did you start from home then?
8:20 to catch the bus in Tontaig, and then it takes us about 20 minutes to walk down. Mm.
And till when did you work at night?
We finished 5:30, but then we were taking an hour for lunch. Well, down there was no one to go for an hour, so we asked him if we could work half an hour. And then finished 5, so we finished at 5 then. So it was 9 till 5 with a half an hour for lunch.
What were you, did you have any other breaks?
Oh, we had on our desk at about 10:30 in the morning, and then past 3-ish, something like that. Yeah, 3:15, but not away from the desk, we just had it. We had our lunch at the desk as well, because we had nowhere else to go.
So when you started in the factory, were you trained at all in what needed to be doing?
No, because I was a shorthand typist, but then, of course, the other work I had to be shown, because, I mean, I didn't have a clue what was to be done.
So tell me what the job was and what did it entail in a day's work, say?
Well, I did any correspondence, took notes, you know, to do all the letters, then type them all. And then I would help then Eileen, then it was my job to start on Monday morning to get the production chart in from the factory for the boys. And then we had production tickets, that's what I was looking for. And we had to the faults of the inspector out in the factory would find all their faults and put it on this ticket, and we had to produce we had a book for the production, and we had to put the faults down, and then of course that was deducted out to there. They were only allowed so many faults. Or for a day, and so much was deducted out of their wages. And then on the Tuesday, what we would do on the Tuesday then. And then by Wednesday then, it was wages, and Eileen was doing the wages. And if she wasn't there then, I'd go, and it was Kalamazoo by hand. And...
What's that, sorry?
Kalamazoo. System by hand, we did it by hand, all by hand. You see, we had nothing like today's, no computer or nothing at all. And we had a hand calculator, that's all. And it was a sum lock, I don't know what happened to it. The square, and you just kept on going. with keys on it and pressing it until whatever came up, you know, you'd work it and then it'll come up on the screen. Now it would be a real antique, but I don't know what happened to it.
Was that something you learnt in college?
No, I had to learn there, yeah. No, I didn't do anything like that in college. No, it was only in college we did shorthand, typing, maths, spelling. What else did we do? I think there were five things. What would it be, the other one? Spelling, maths. Oh, bookkeeping. You had to do the bookkeeping as well in the college, yeah.
So, you said you went to work to Pontypridd, first of all. Why did you decide to go and work in the factory?
Well, the wages weren't very good and they couldn't afford to pay more, so... And it was until 6 o'clock in the night and an hour and a quarter for lunch, which I used to come home for lunch and go back, which was a terrible rush. Really, to run down, have my lunch and get back up for the bus back into Pontypridd. And it was very low wages. And then I paid, I can't remember how much then, for a three-month lead ticket, which was quite a lump sum out of my wages for 3 months. Because I was coming home, going in the mornings 4 times a day. So that's when I decided then to seek, with more money.
So you went to work in the factory, I think, according to your locket, it was 1957.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can you remember what your wages were?
I started in Pontypridd for £2.09, and when I went down to the factories, it was £6.10, which was 50 pence now. And then after, he wouldn't give us a rise every year, as the factory had it, because they were in the union, so every year, automatic theirs went up, cost of living rise. But we had to keep asking for ours, so 2 or 3 years went by and we didn't have anything. So then he decided to up mine to £11. It was a lot then, from £6.50. And...
But what was £6.50 like in those days? Was that pretty good money?
Well, it was from what I started, £2.09 in the shop.
And yeah. What about £11? Was that?
We didn't ask for that. I didn't anyway. I don't know how much Eileen had, but he put mine up to £11. But I was there at least three years, perhaps, if not 4 years, before he decided he wouldn't. We'd ask, which was embarrassing, keep asking, but no, we couldn't have a rise. They was having doubt in the factory and we couldn't have it because we weren't in the union, you see. They were in the union and the union said like that they went up cost of living. And but it was embarrassing for us to keep asking. But so, he decided then, all of a sudden, to... He decided to give us £11. I came home and I said, I'm having £11. I said, no, I'll have a rise.
How did that compare to what the workers in the factory were earning?
Oh, they were having much more than us in the office. Yeah, much more. Because they'd work shifts. And, of course, night shift was a higher rate than the day shift. And then, of course, overtime. They'd work overtime sometimes till 8 o'clock. And their hours was 7:30 till 4, and then they went 8 o'clock till 4:30, and then, of course, if there was overtime then, they'd have that much overtime as well. I worked every other Saturday morning, go down about 9:30 until 1 o'clock, but then we gradually... did away with. We asked him, it was only manning the phones and seeing to the mail, really, because sometimes he wouldn't come in, but we had to go in and do it. And so we gave up that then. And then we're just 5 days a week.
Well, how many of you worked in the factory?
15 to 20, it fluctuated from...
All together?
Mm. Yeah, with the managing director. It was only the managing director in the office, and then Eileen and myself. And then we got busy, so then we had a gentleman in with us. And then Eileen's husband was working in the factory, but he found that the boss was saying Eileen's wages and his wages, they should have two of them been working only for one wage. Yes, yeah, right. And so he said, I'm off, he said. So he went up to Great Yarmouth, and that's where he still is. And then Eileen, then he wanted her to go, and she wouldn't go, and in the end she left then. So it was myself then and different gentlemen, you know, they'd come and go and come and go. They didn't stay long. And that's how we ended up, just myself and the gentleman.
So were there any women working in manufacturing?
Yeah. We had the winding shop, and when you were in there, four, I think, in there, sometimes four. And then in the inspection, it was Nella. She was the only one in inspection. And then only one lady out on the shop floor with the boys. And, of course, she was having the man's rate. And they didn't agree with that she was having the man's rate. But she was doing exactly the same work as the boys. I don't know why she was out on the factory floor, because that was before... she was there before I went there. Yeah.
So what did they do on the factory floor?
The knitters for the cotton, and then for the nylon, and then they were warping. We'd have the on big bobbins, and then it'd have to be warped onto the beams, and then the beams would be put on the machines for the knitting, you know, and it would be going like that all day long.
Mm. Was it noisy then?
Oh. And hot in the summer. We couldn't breathe in the summer in there. I like take anything I wanted to talk to the boys about, I'd have to take them into the mess room because you'd be exhausted trying to talk. I couldn't speak to them over the machine. There were 23 machines in the one shop, as long as this house. And then in the other, we had six nylon, I think, with the warp in, yeah, and then down the other end. Mm. Yeah.
So who didn't agree with her? This woman who was on the shop floor, on the factory floor.
Oh, the knitters. How many to a shift? Well, as I say, four or five to a shift. Or four to a shift. Could have been. And then Eileen as well.
So, who didn't agree with this woman being paid the same as the men?
The knitters, yeah. Right. Mm. The other knitters.
The men. What did the management think?
Well, it was only the boss, the manager director, he didn't take any notice of it, I don't think.
So he just paid the same wage,
yes,
without question?
Yeah. She was having the same rate as the boys.
Yes.
It'd be in there, I think, the rate of the same as the boys. Right. Hmm.
What did you think?
Well, we didn't have a say in it. It was nothing to do with us, really. You know, we were just in the office doing all the office work, I suppose. We didn't sort of, can't remember ever the two of us say anything about it. You know, it was one of those things. She was out there with them, and...
And did you think it was fair, or did you think she should have...
Well, it was at the time. It was no... before the time of equal pay came in, you see. So, of course, that's why they didn't think much of it. But then they didn't keep on about it, nothing could be done, so they just, I think, just forgotten. And then Nella left, and then Eileen came out on the inspection then. So then they didn't bother then that she was, whatever she was having. Yeah.
So it was quite a small factory then.
Yes, we were but we never owed a penny, never in debt, never had overdrafts, nothing at all. When the boss died, there was 200,000 money in the bank without all the assets. Mm, that was 20. How old was I? 47, 48? 46. 30 odd years ago, that's right.
You say the factory workers were paid more than you. Did you ever consider working in the factory rather than the office?
No, I couldn't have done that, no.
Why,
it was, you were on your feet all day, just walking around these machines all day, and they were going like this all day, like that all day. I haven't got any needles, I don't think. Very, very fine needles. I got the boxes, which have the box, but I haven't got the needles. No, I haven't got any needles. Very, very fine needles they were. And they'd just go like that all day long.
Would you say it was hard work?
Well, it'd be hard in the feet and legs, because Eileen now, she's 82, I think, and she's having terrible trouble with her feet. She can't stand or walk. Her feet have sort of whatever it is. And of course, it was cement floors. So it was hard on the feet and legs, weren't it?
So I'm sorry, what did Eileen do then?
Well, she was the knitter with the boys.
Oh, she was the knitter?
She was the knitter with the boys,
sorry,
yeah.
Yeah.
We had two Eileens, Eileen Evans and then Eileen Edwards.
So was one of them in the office?
Yeah, Eileen Edwards was in the office and Ray Edwards was out in the nylon shop then, Eileen's husband. Yeah.
Right, okay. Can you remember your first day at work and what impression that made on you?
I remember going in and waiting at the, thinking there was someone in there, waiting at the hatch, knocking, and there was no one. And of course I was down there early, and in comes the boss. So then he took me in the office and then waited for Eileen to come then, but she never came to work till 9:30. I don't know why, but she never, and then sat down and she started to show me the ropes. And all strange the first day, you know, which everybody says, it's bound to be strange, isn't it? Yeah. And then as the week was going on then, and I was there all that time then. And I did run it myself for 9 weeks because Eileen had gone, had left, and he didn't have a man to come in. And I did it for 9 weeks on my own. Well, I didn't have any extra money, but all of a sudden, when the gold chains came in, he said, you can go and look for something for yourself to the value of £100. So I went to Bridgend to a good jeweller's, and it was £120, so I put the 20 myself. So I got the chain, just an ordinary chain, and I had that for 9 weeks working on my own. Because of course, right end of the week, you had to come down to balance everything, balance the petty cash, got to balance with the wages and then with all the petty cash. So I had to do all, which I liked very much. I like handling money.
Did you think that was a generous
Well, to me then, I suppose it was. I was thinking, it's my first gold. It was all the rage, and I thought, gold chains. I did.
What were the conditions like in the factory?
Not very good. Because it was an old factory, very old factory. Yeah, very, very old. Like the chairs we had were kitchen chairs, and I got out the pads out there now that I made a pad to sit on. Because sitting on those wooden chairs, it was. He had a plush one for himself and a big posh in the end. After the flood, he had a new desk and a new swivel chair, but we didn't. We had to just use what was there. Did we have one new desk? No, I don't think so. There was my desk, and in the middle then, it was like an old table, and then there was Eileen's desk. Oh, and that's right, we had the typewriter there. So I'd work there, and I got pictures of me in it, and I'm knitting, because I used to have the fortnight of the factory holidays to go down and man the phones and see to the mail. So, of course, there was nothing else to do, so I'd sit and knit. And then I had my holidays in July. I was at the fortnight before they did.
Right, I'll talk to you about that in a minute. I just wanted to say, what about toilets and facilities like
that? Well, there was a toilet, and we didn't have hot water. Did we have a geyser? Ah, there was a very old geyser then, it went wrong, and he did buy us a new geyser, for you know, fashion geyser, though, for the hot water for our hands. Yeah, we had to go in, and there were two toilets, and then a hand wash basin. But then there was nothing to put your towel on, and so I said, I'm going to buy a roller, and I'm going to get a roller towel, because I hate towels in a ball. And so I did that when I went there after a bit. And then another thing then, with all our tea things, they were using the bottle, and they were using, it was tea then, it wasn't tea bags, of course. So I got a milk jug, and I got, he would have cups and saucers. The boss would have cups and saucers. We did have cups and saucers. But then I had bought a teapot, and I got tea cozy. I made a tea cozy, and I did that. Then, and what else did I do then to try and bring it up to date? No, it was very sparse, you know, nothing sort of, no luxuries at all, no.
So no canteen, nothing?
No, like no, the boys out there, they had a room, a mess room, and we did have, he did have a little portable, not a portable, table gas stove, which would strike the match, and I think I woke him out of my face one day. You could warm something. And then on the top, they boiled. Did they have electric? No, they boiled the kettle on the top. We didn't have electric kettles. No. Oh, the boys did not.
Did the factory floor workers and you used to mix at all? I mean, how about Eileen? Did she used to mix with you? Or did she?
Oh, yes, Eileen and myself. We'd go out to the boys, you know, on the foam, and then would come in to see and do and want to know what, you know, everything, and the head foreman. And, I'd go into the mess room at the lunchtime to them, because it was quiet then. You see, the machines are all shut off. And, they were all right. All the boys are all right to me. Yeah. And there was one in particular, he was Len. He wasn't a general hand, but he'd do anything. If you needed something done, say, oh, Len, there's something gone wrong now with the latch on the doors. And, he'd say, I'm not coming now. And all the time, he'd be behind me with a hammer and something, or a drill, or he was wonderful, he was. Len was, yeah, but he left then and went down to Plymouth to live and work. They were from Trehavot, yeah.
So how would you say you got on with the men?
Oh, all right, all of them, yeah, all of them all right, yeah.
What about the women? Did you used to go out socially with them?
No. We did have a Christmas get-together, which Eileen and myself, we'd arrange it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had anything for Christmas, but we did that, and we had, we went to a few places for a few Christmas, but we had to pay for it ourselves, like the boss wouldn't pay for it. And we did that. And, yes, it was quite nice to get together like that, because you couldn't go talking out in the factory, because one morning I was out there, and he said, oh, come on, he said, those girls, they were talking to me, but he wouldn't allow socialising on the shop floor. No.
So were the workers allowed to talk to each other while they were working?
Well, yes, I think they would. Yeah. But then they needed to watch, you see, because these needles, if one went, you'd have a big ladder all the way down in the material. So they had to sort of keep their eye on that all the time, and they're working like all the time. They did in the break time. The morning and lunchtime.
What about music? Did they?
No, the boss wouldn't have music. No, nothing at all. No. In any case, if they did in the fact, they wouldn't hear it because of the noise of the machines. Oh, they were really noisy machines, yeah.
Did they have any protective clothing or ear protection?
No, nothing like that at all. Well, because it didn't come in then. All this protection, for they should have, because it was really noisy on their ears. Yeah. No, it was before the time of all this health and safety. Mm.
Was the work dangerous at all, do you think?
No, not really, because no, I wouldn't say it was a dangerous job.
No. So you don't remember any accidents or anything like that?
No. We had an accident book, but no, didn't have any accidents, no.
What about heat and lighting? Was it hot?
Oh, very, very hot. Very, the strip lighting all down on the machines, you see, for them to see the knitting as it was going, quite low on them, you know. Each side of the machine, they had the strip lighting.
So was it hot in the winter as well?
Yeah. And the bottom part of all the windows was all frosted glass, so they couldn't see out at all, because it was the original windows, I think, from when the wartime. You know, the frosted glass, yeah.
Mm. So what about the office?
We were the same. That's why I hate frosted glass. Mm. I had to get up on the radiator pipe on the side to open the window to have a look out, because I couldn't see out. But the window was that much all the way round of frosted glass. Mm.
So and were you ever cold in the office, or too hot or too cold?
Very hot. Eileen, you see, she smoked as well. Oh, it used to be blow. It just, and she'd light up, put it on the ashtray, and let the smoke go all night. I couldn't breathe once. I thought it was flaking out. Couldn't breathe. And she wouldn't have that much window open for it to go out. And when the sun was in the front, it's like if you're in the cinema, you know, the rays. It'd be like that, coming in with the smoke. Yeah, as soon as she came in, she'd light one up, and then it'd be going up and up. I was a passive smoker, really, at the time, but I didn't think of it, you know. And the boss was smoking. I got in the ashtray upstairs. I've seen it like that, up like that. And all of a sudden, he gave it up overnight because he found he had a little ulcer down in there. Phew. And then he thought smoking was a very dirty habit.
Hmm. So did he have a room of his own?
Yes, he had an office of his own. And then the end of it was called the boardroom. Why it was called the boardroom, I don't know. It was just that there were a few chairs in there, and we never had any board meetings, really. It was always called the boardroom.
Mm. What about the people on the factory floor? Could they smoke?
They did then, going around, yeah.
On the job?
On the job, they were, yeah, because years ago they did, didn't they? They just smoked anywhere. Yeah. I mean, now you think of it, with that cotton, it was dangerous. But what, that cotton on that nylon? I mean, the nylon just melts. Yeah. Didn't think of it, no.
Well, did your work change at all while you were there? Or was it, you know, you were there for a long time?
No, from the Monday morning. You see, I did different days for everything to Friday then. So finish up Friday. Everything had to be done every day to finish up Friday, to finish with the petty cash so that it was balanced. And then you'd have Monday morning again, you'd have the sheets in then from that week's work. It was a week in hand. And then you'd start all over again then. Hmm.
So that was the same for the whole time you were there?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Did it matter whether you were married or not, do you think? You said there was a problem with Eileen. Because
Ray went up to the Yarmouth to work and live, and no, it's just that she had a mother, you see, and a mother there, the little boy, and she didn't want to leave her mother in Trehavard. But in the end, he said, well, it was either divorce and part and divorce, but in the end she went up. Hmm. Yeah.
Were you encouraged to go to night school when you were there? And further
yourself, nothing like that at all. No. No, nothing at all. And another thing, we didn't have no pension schemes. He didn't believe in anything like that. He does all to make his own money, you know. He didn't believe in, we didn't have anything like that at all. No.
So you said you weren't in a trade union, were you?
No, Eileen and myself, no. Nothing, no.
But do you remember which trade union?
Knitter, I used to know it off by heart. Can't remember that now. It was the knitters union. It was up north because that's where a lot of the factories were up north, all the National Textile Union. I can't remember the name of the union. I can't remember the name of the union. But it was in the textile union, it was.
Yes.
So we're under the textile, yeah.
Were there any disputes or problems and stuff while you were there? No, we just
carry on, sail along all the time. No, not really. No, they've never had, they didn't sort of have any strikes or, no. I think they weren't, they were very, very good. Mm.
Did you feel that you and the other workers were fairly treated?
Yeah, I suppose we were. We weren't, yeah.
Mm. Was he a good employer then?
Yes, only that he never wanted to give us a rise.
Yes.
No. Mm.
Well, tell me a little bit, because, you know, tell me a little bit about your employer then, who he was, and
It's Czechoslovakian, Czechoslovakian Jew he was, and he came, I think, before my time this was, he came over, and he started with Stuart Singlem, which was across the road up a bit on the estate. And then had this then in 1940-41, I expect, and started up on his own. And then he had a sleeping partner up in London, which would come down every so often, but he was a managing director. He did all everything, you know, buying everything, buying the machines and
what was his name?
Carol Bergman. Bergman. Mm. Yeah. And didn't know anything about his personal life. He'd never come out with any of his personal life. I've learnt more from the paper cuttings now that I read, because he never said anything. That Mrs. Bergman was his wife, but didn't say like what happened with her. With she had a little boy in the concentration camp and that, and Aunt Eva, and then he took Eva on, you see, and they named her Eva Bergman. Other than that, he never socialised himself. He didn't go out with other men or anything, you know, for an evening, nothing at all like that. And I don't think they went very far either. So there's nothing really to say about. We never sort of said, well, we'd go out with him for an evening with his wife or... No, we just went home, you know, went to work and went home every night, and it was the same. There was nothing, nothing sociable, you know, about him. So I can't give you anything about really all I knew that he went to Switzerland that morning and... Or stayed the night and then went the morning at 5 o'clock and died in the airport. Mm. And then that day we were taken over by Burlington Fabrics then over to Philly, so we had to go over there then.
So when what year was that then?
What year was that then? I was I'd have to have a pencil, I think.
Ask as well.
Go on then.
I wanted to ask you, what did you do with your wages? Did you keep all your wages, or did you
Yes. We had all of us had the cash, because I'd go on a Thursday afternoon to the bank and then make the wages up for the night shift to put them out with the foreman, ready for the night shift foreman to come in, because they only worked four 10-hour shifts when they were nights, and then 5 days, 8-hour shifts. So everybody had cash. We'd not putting it in the bank or anywhere for them then. It was all cash in the envelopes, yeah.
When you started working there, were you still living at home then?
Yes, I've been home all the time, yeah.
So did you used to give your mother?
Oh, yes, my mother every Friday night, the two of us. Yeah, hand out, we always. My mother kept our wages until we were both 21 and gave us pocket money, but when we came 21, it was yours now to do and look after. And then we had to give, she believed in it, board and lodge.
Right.
Mm.
Was that about the age that everybody did that, you know, the 21, did you go?
Well, I don't know whether it with everybody else, but because my mother didn't believe in letting us have all our wages, because we wouldn't know the value of money if we were thinking every Friday we had that, oh, we're going to spend it and then nothing left for the week. We weren't like that. But, I mean, there are some people who are like that, and once they got the wages, they got to go and by Saturday morning, like it's gone. No, we had to bring ours home every Friday, and she'd sit them, two of us, with her hand out. Hmm.
So, what did you do with your pocket money?
When I was young, well, I just had to make it do for the week, whatever I wanted. I just had to make it do for the week. I had 6 and 6. Well, how much is that in new money? And just make it through.
Did you have to pay for your transport out of that, or did you?
No, my mother paid for it out of my wages for the season ticket.
So that was all kind of for you to spend. Did you have to buy clothes out of that?
No, whatever we bought, my mother always came with us paid for, because of course we didn't have that amount of money. It wasn't enough. I thought. It was only for sort of sweets or chocolate or whatever. I mean, we didn't go to pictures. We weren't allowed to go to pictures. We did go to youth club. I did. Janet went to Young Farmers, but I went to the youth club in the village. What else? But nothing else.
Did you used to buy records or anything?
Oh, yes, I bought, yeah, but not very often, because we didn't have the amount of money to spend, you see, I always had to come home on a Thursday when I worked in the shop. We had Thursday afternoon off. That was my job, ironing, to do all the ironing. And then in the nights, in the summer, then it was to go out in the garden, change then, and have your tea and then work out in the garden. And in the winter nights, then it was just sit by the fire. And we all sat in one room. We didn't have this business like they got today, up to their bedroom. My father wouldn't allow that. No. Never had wireless or television up there. Nothing. Did you go up and go into bed and then get up in the morning and come down? Hmm.
So when you had your own money and paid board and lodge, did you used to buy more clothes and things out of that?
Well, not unless I wanted it. I was never, ever broke. Because we brought up, you know, if you wanted something, you had to have the money on your hand before you went to buy it. You didn't go and then... No credit at all, no credit, nothing, no. So you just, you know, we didn't have clothes every week or every month, or we had to look after it, put all the summer clothes away for the winter and all the winter clothes away for the summer. And sandals, bring them out then in the summer. Oh, that's what I still do now, clean them all up through the bottom, put them all away, and then I'd be glad to get the summer ones out. I hate these long sleeves. Especially when they're washing up. I'd be glad to get rid of them. Yeah. No, we've had to look after everything and never abused anything, you know. We've had our own cars, we had to keep clean and look after them. When we had bikes then, we had to look after bikes. And yeah. I've worked since I can remember, about 7 years of age. And we never said to my father, like, you know, what we get for it, we didn't get a penny, my sister or myself. nothing. Now I'm having my time of life, really, because I'm having everything. I don't spend it because I got to get rid of it. It's just, oh, I like that. Oh, yeah, I think I'll have that. Oh, I like that pair of shoes. Yeah, oh, I'll try them. Oh, they're nice. Oh, I'll have them, or sandals or whatever. And I bought a pair of slippers yesterday. I don't really want them, but they'll go up in the box for next winter now, because they're nice. They come up over my ankles on the front, so it'll be cosy, you know. Not booties, but you can put them. But that's the type of thing. So, no, never had anything unless we had the money to. Never went to the hairdressers, never smoked. My father said, come by that door there with a cigarette in your fag, he said. And he said, I'd ram it down your throat and open the choke you, but we never had the money to buy them, you see. And my mother told us, like, you buy a jumper, or you buy a cardigan or a pair of shoes, you've got something to look at. Well, if you have the cigarette, you might just put the money there because you've got nothing after. But we never had that. Well, I mean, as I said, 6 and 6 a week. I know they were cheaper then, like, but then it was dear then at that time, wasn't it? They were, like, you know. And I think they were £8 for a packet of cigarettes and you've got nothing after. Do you smoke?
No. What was I going to say? Well, we're going to the holidays then.
Right, we're back on the holidays then, right.
So, could you tell me about the holidays?
We start in April. We had Easter Monday and Tuesday off. And then Whitsun, we'd have the Monday off. Then in July, then they'd have the last week of July, first week of August. But then I'd have the last week of June and the first week of July, because I worked the fortnight that the factory was off, manning the phones and seeing to the mail. And then come Christmas, we'd have the 2 weeks off, one the Christmas week, and then one before, on the New Year's Day. But then they decided then they'd prefer, could they have the last 2 weeks of August off? So for years then they did that. I just remember they changed it. But they weren't very fussy because the nights were beginning to draw in then in August. You see, they didn't have a long afternoon, did they? But they kept to it and that's what they wanted. It wasn't so crowded, they said, as because it was miners, factory, schools and it all out then. So that was the holidays. Yeah.
Were they all paid holidays?
Only the bank holidays, the Monday, Tuesday, yeah, and the Christmas and Boxing Day, yeah, yeah.
What about the summer fortnight? Were they paid?
Yes, just the basic it was. They had no the basic rate. They didn't have the bonus of their work, you know, the knitting bonus. No, just the basic. I just come to that now. Yeah, that's all.
So what did you do during the holidays?
When I was there? Well, I'd be waiting for the phone to ring. I'd see to the mail. I'd take any checks that we had down to the bank. And then I'd sit and I'd be knitting. And then I'd have my cup of coffee or whatever. And I'd leave about 2:30 then. I thought there was nothing going now. So I'd come home then. And that was my... I used to say it was like... 2 weeks holiday or a month's holiday, because it was already sitting there. He wanted someone there while because he went away as well, and so it was you know, a rest for me. I didn't sort of really work, and so I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Was it only you in the factory
Yes, it was eerie after all that noise, and to walk out into the factory, it was really eerie. It was, yeah.
So what did you do when you actually had the time off? You said you went away, did you?
Oh, yes, we used to go on holiday, yes. My friend June and I, 1 year we went a week. The first time I went on holidays was a week to Bournemouth. And then Joyce and I went away. We used to go on Will. And then before my sister started work then, the three of us went to Switzerland on a coach tour. And... Then afterwards, then, well, it was down West Wales, Cornwall. Oh, then we went Land's End to John O'Groats. Where else did we go? You know, we didn't do it all. Like, we went you to Land's End and you to John O'Groats and to Scotland. Where else did we go? Oh, we went abroad again to Italy. That's right. Italy, Austria, Switzerland.
When was this? What decade?
Each did, different times and things like that. Yes. Yeah.
When you went abroad, what decade was that?
You're asking me something. Jersey, what did I go? Joyce and I went to Jersey for a fortnight. Oh, we went to Guernsey. I've never fancied America. It's never appealed to me, or Ireland, or it's either the Channel Islands or and it's only Switzerland, Austria, and of course with the coach tour you come through Germany and France, but I didn't fancy it. Yes, it was all different. I haven't had a holiday for 20 years, 20 going on, yes, over 20 years now I haven't had a holiday. I couldn't have holidays then, because both my parents were beginning to get older and beginning to go downhill, so there was no one. I didn't have my sister to take over, because she died 21 years ago, 22 coming out. So I didn't know. I didn't have a holiday for over 20 years. I haven't had, no. Now I haven't got anybody to go with, and I'm not going on my own. They all say, go on your own, you'll soon go with Sagan. And I said, I couldn't do that. No.
Were you allowed days off for personal reasons?
Well, you'd ask for them. I asked for a day off for my sister's wedding, and he more or less said, well, have you got to have it off? Well, I said, my sister's getting married on a Monday, and I'm going to be a witness, because she had a special license, and she went to the registry office, and I more or less, it's only for my sister's wedding, but he wasn't very fussy. Oh, no. Because we couldn't make it up, you see, or anything, but he didn't deduct me anyway, but he didn't believe in holidays, because he used to say to us, it's not another holiday, a bank holiday again. He was a workaholic, so he didn't believe in holidays, really. No.
But he paid you the day you went to your sister's wedding.
Yeah. Other than that, I can't remember. Did I ask for time off other than that? I think it was the only time I asked. Yeah, I think it...
So, you worked on the Trafford Estate for a long time, and can you describe to me what the Trafford Estate was like when you started working there?
All the old factories from the war, the real old, they were the old factories from the war, because we'd go to Tontaig on the bus, then we'd go down through the one field, down through the other, and then come down and we'd walk through GCs, and then, and liners was there, and the smell from the liners, the bone factory, and then there was...
What was the smell,
their liners with gelatine, with all the bones, they used to, as we were leaving the fields, we'd come down to it, And I can name a lot of the factories down there, I go around. And I very often, when my mother was alive, I'd say, where are you going? She'd say, I'm going round to see what. I said, that blinking Greggs are all over our patch. Mother, father, there's nothing of the factory left. No, it's all Greggs lorries. Oh, no. But I go around and this is this one now, GC, DCL, and then chrome leather, Western board, AeroZip, Trafford silk printers, and then go up around, and then liners, and then, but where we used to walk down was GC there, and they used to have the canteen starting up in the mornings, and the old smell where they made chips, that was another smell, and then it was a Oh, they used to sell wood, floor, wood Robinson flooring, I think it was called. Then there was Stuart Singlem. Then there was Plastic Engineers. Then there was Homerton's. And then there was Elliot's Glass. And then by us, then there was Rosedale's. We were in a big block, but a small block in a big block. And I can't remember the name next door. I can't. Oh, and it was Halsers. I was over further over. I can't remember the name next door to us. In the same block, but just all different. I can't remember that one. I've been trying to think of that one for a long time, and I can't remember it. Isn't it funny? Mm-hmm. I remember all the others in the factory.
Yes.
And down on the main avenue was Estate Printers, Co-op Shoes, KLGs, BYC, Copygraph, what's the ones now that they've done away with now, there's disabled, oh there was the blind down there, then this Remploy, there was a big Remploy down on the main avenue.
Well, describe to me what it was like, you know, first thing in the morning and last thing at night.
Well, outside our office was the bus station for all the buses from the valleys. And it would take, if I went up to Tree Forest, from Tree Forest to the state up to Tree Forest, it'd take me a half an hour at least, because it would stop, start, all the way, double deckers, single deckers, it was chock a block with buses. And now it's just gone, now it's all derelict there, nothing at all. And what a noise, they'd be coming about 4:45. Oh dear, dear, dear. You know, all in the line there waiting for the vault to come out of each factory. But of course, now it's all cars and they'll have to use and it went to cars. Yeah. And, but then I'd walk up, but then I came, I was walking up on my own and it wasn't, I wouldn't go through the fields then on my own, so I'd walk up the roadway because it wasn't very nice. I didn't fancy coming on my own and it wasn't. Going down in the morning, we'd be about 12 of us. Or going to different factories. Yeah. But,
so when your boss died, you said it was taken over by
Burlington.
Burlington. Mm. And it moved to Caerphilly. Tell me about that.
We moved over to they were at the back of us. It was called Burlington Gloves. But then they went over to when they were over there then they went into a bigger, much bigger factory and it was Burlington Fabrics. And a huge office, and much bigger factory altogether than ours. And they did all types of material, not just like we did. They did it for the furniture. What else? Well, I wasn't really told. We just went in there and just had to sort of mix in with the girls. I wasn't told what they did. You know, it wasn't... No, and they were, oh dear, 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 really fancied themselves and they didn't have a penny to bless themselves with, but it put like that. And they'd look down the nose at us as if we were riffraffs. That's what the office manager as well, he'd be on his glasses, I don't know. And that's, I just went to work there, that's all. I wasn't sort of interested at all. I did, and he did ask me then to cash up every night then, because we had a factory shop, so he gave me that job. But I wasn't fussed on it. I didn't like it there, it just one of those things, I didn't like it there. So then he called us in and made us redundant, and I had a large sum of £3,050. And he thought he was giving me the earth. He said, dear, dear, you're having 3,000 order. But that wasn't much, was it? After that was 31 years of working. So you're putting the two together, right? Yeah. So I came out of there and that's it. Yeah, but it's all gone now. They changed hands, I don't know how many times since I left there. Now it's gone, all gone now.
And you left eventually in, is it 1988? Is that right?
I was made redundant in, and I was 54. So 54 from 78 is 34 years, is it?
Mm.
34 from 20.
From 1990.
Yeah.
94.
Mm. Yeah. I was on the dole then for 12 months. Then I had to live on my savings then for another 12 months. I didn't get a penny. I wasn't entitled to a penny. Then I went then to the social services. Well, it's Boundary House in Pontypridd on Broadway. I did 13 weeks there from 9 until 1. And I had £60 a week so that I could put stamps on then. And I had another year then, dole. And then till I was 60, I had not a penny until I was 60, till I had my pension.
24 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, 24.
So about
1989.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. 24, well, when you look, did you enjoy working in the factory office the first?
Yes, I did.
What about job satisfaction? Were you bored at all?
No, never bored.
Were you given a gift or anything when you left?
No, we never had a thing. I only had these different things because I was asking for it, to show that for what I'd done, and I only had that because I wanted something that could be, and I was looking. I went and then I had it inscribed. You see, and because what is it? It's a what is it on the glasses on?
So and who gave you this?
But the boss then. And I got a bracelet with it on inside. Oh, I don't know where I put it. I haven't lost it. But inside the bracelet is engraved another year. And then I got a brandy with another so many years. But I didn't have it. Funny thing, I was thinking of that before you arrived. None of us had a thing when we finished. And I got it had been there years. Howard been a aunt, Denzel is a brother. Arthur and Howard, they were both foremen, but of course then Dilwyn had died. So, no, we never had a thing when he died. Never sort of nothing at all. No, nothing. She didn't give us anything. No.
Looking back now, then how do you feel about the time you worked in the factory?
Good. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Are you in touch?
Like we never sort of had a crossword, Eileen and myself. And there was only one chap that came in and two. We had two, he really took, wanted to take over. And two I wasn't very fussy of. But I had a lovely one then. And he only came to finish, he was 63, and he came in until he was 65, and lo and behold, he went home one night and he sat in the chair and died. Mm. And he was from a director, he was in silk printers, and he finished him off there, and then he came in and he really enjoyed it. But he went home and he died in a chair. Big smoker he was as well, and he gave up smoking. And then that's happened to him.
Mm. Are you in touch with anybody from?
Well, Eileen died 2 years, just gone in December. She was 82, I think. And when I sent Ray the card to Great Yarmouth, he's coming down because they've got a house still in Trehavot. So I told him whenever he comes down. He did come down 2 years ago and I had a visitor. It's always the same. This young man was with him, and of course, it was Gareth. And he was 52. I didn't know who he was, of course. He says, Gareth. Oh, God. Last time I saw him, he was a lovely little boy, though. And then there's Eileen in Ferndale, but this Christmas is the first Christmas I had a card. Then there's a cleaner. She lived on Hawthorne, and occasionally we phoned, but she's 94 now. And then there was a lady then, was Nella, who was in inspection. I was looking after her come the end. I was taking her, she had to have elastic stockings, and I was taking her to the hospital because she had no one, so I had journeys up there. Then she had cancer in the eye, and she had her eye out, and then I stayed down with her in Singleton, Morriston Hospital, and because she had to have treatment every day. But she died 3 years ago, 3 years last August, I think. Yeah. Who else is alive? Oh, I don't know about Idris and Isabel. Yes, he might still be alive. Other than that, I think they've all gone. You know, the ones that I haven't seen any of the men like that's out in the factory, because they lived in all different places. Yes, that's about the lot of it. Yeah, that's right.
The cotton that you made in the factory, what was it used for?
The making of gloves. For the white was for police gloves. You'll try that now. It's 100% cotton. And then whatever colour, this happened to be the chamois, because they were used for lens cleaners. You know, they'd be cut that much there, like that, and put in the glass cases, like that. Okay? And then these used to be made into swatches, so to send to customers. Like Eileen would cut them like that, then bend them over. Bend them. And staple them to send to customers for the colours they wanted, and then they'd order. See, that was called a swatch. Yeah. The nylon then was nylon gloves, and then we started to go into dress fabrics and with the nylon, but I wasn't fussed on the nylon, but I know that's all cotton. Yeah, that's the, they all want to see this when they say, what did you do? And I'm glad I brought these home out to the, yeah, that was lovely, isn't that? Yeah. The raw material would be sent up to Nottingham to be dyed, and then brought back to us in rolls. And then the orders that we get for the rolls then would be sent to Hong Kong, all in the colours, to be made into gloves. And then the customers, the glove factories all around, then they would be having the gloves then, the fabric then, to make into gloves, and we wouldn't see it after. So that was the, yeah, that's how much, you know, of it.